All right. Okay. You don't watch Joe Rogan, huh?
I do not watch Joe Rogan.
All right. There's two episodes with Elon Musk. The first one, Elon smoked a little puff, puff, puff. His stocks tanked. I'm sure you heard about that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay. And the second one was in Austin, Texas, and was a great conversation. It was neat. Elon, as good a conversation as you can imagine anybody having with Elon, as not personable he is, as much as persons need him.
Right.
But they got to one point that was really weird and awkward, and it convinced me that Elon is not as who he says he is. Remember we talked about that last
episode?
He's
not as who he says he is.
Correct.
Okay. Like he's not a genius?
Can you put that on my tombstone?
Yeah.
Not a genius.
Okay.
But the not as
it sounds he, be easier.
Yeah. And do they charge per letter? Anyways, I'll be dead. I don't care. All right, so.
I'll say yes and just not do it.
Joe Rogan posed the question about aliens.
Okay.
And then kind of like gave supporting evidence of whatever supporting evidence there is. You know, fighter pilots saying they saw this, this or that, blah, blah.
Right.
Elon Musk immediately became female level apprehensive and like immediately dismissive. Like, no, there's no aliens. There's absolutely no evidence of aliens. There wouldn't be an alien. There's no alien. And it's just like, how could you be as smart as you are and be that like convinced that the possibility doesn't even exist?
So wait, the space guy who wants to go to space feels comfortable and confident in going to space because he knows there's no aliens to fuck up his shit.
I don't know that that's why, but he correlated or not, I'm not sure. But here's the thing. If you're so smart, you should always be open to the idea you don't know everything.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what really helped my intelligence is realizing the only thing I know for certain is that I know nothing.
There you go.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, and then about how his body language got.
Yeah.
If you really haven't seen it, I encourage you to, I don't know, do whatever you want to do. Maybe don't go see it. I don't know if you should. Definitely don't stop listening to this to go do it.
Yeah.
Maybe after. A follow-up.
Maybe.
Bonus episode is over at jre.com. I guess I don't know his website. And anyways, he became just so like, he freaked out. Like if he was an alien. Like, and someone was talking about aliens, and it was all of a sudden like, he knows millions of people are watching this. They can't know that I'm an alien. They can't know that we're here. They can't know that we're walking around digging holes under LA County. Blah, 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 blah. So I just came to the conclusion that he's actually a retarded alien, not a smart human. Sorry, it was better in the phone.
I think that all just comes together. You think about Elon Musk, and you're like, wow, he's really smart. He's like, no, he's just the dumbest alien that we know of.
Yeah.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
We're going to town. Town.
Yeah.
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast. Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kicking your face perspectives Kapow! Towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe lives. Wow.
Subscribe lives.
Subscribe that. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become that short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who spends more time than he should on Craigslist ads.
That's true.
That's probably true.
That's how I buy all my cars.
Motion.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
Doing well, brother.
Another
you,
week.
You yeah. ha- I had a I had a setup. Well, I had already in my mind a joke, but the setup was going to be based on you. But because we don't talk about these things, I couldn't hint you into it.
Right.
And it was set up perfect, but it was so early in the monologue, I would have felt ruder than I normally am or that I normally feel. When you stumbled through it, I was gonna be like, Alex, you're stumbling through that like Joe Biden on his way to Air Force One.
Oh, man.
But it would have fucked up the whole monologue.
No, but I would be cool with that.
Yeah.
It's one of those like, I'm out kind of jokes and like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, just. Boop, boop.
Yeah, yeah.
Like lipo doctor. You just grab the fat and stab it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it
goes. So what's up, brother? How was your week?
Week was okay. I'm still acclimating to the whole home ownership thing. It's kind of the situation of like, okay, if you're out in the world and you're renting your place and some shit goes down,
yep.
You hit up your landlord. Hey, landlord, shit is fucked up. Come fix it.
Yeah.
Now I do that. I'm like, ah, fuck. I'm talking to the wall because
yeah, the
it's
wall
me.
Yep.
So I've been dealing with that kind of shit, but you know, it's cool.
We should make a landlord corner.
Landlord corner?
Yeah, oh, where you just
come talk to the landlord.
You can go vent. I mean, nothing's gonna get done. Well, just like the landlord.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say.
But you definitely express your, you know, your worries.
Yeah.
And troubles, and then you just turn around, figure out a way to fix it your fucking
I'll
self,
because
it's not coming.
I'll give myself pre-written flashcards. As soon as I'm done ranting,
all right,
I just pick up one of these flashcards that would have like a normal response from a landlord of like, oh yeah, we'll address it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're on that.
And then in parentheses, it's like, no, it's going to be like 3 weeks.
The guy's on the way. He said he'll be there between 9 to 5 weeks for months.
I had that shit happen today.
What?
I called someone and I was like, hey man, I need such and such fixed.
I like the hey man.
And they're like, okay, yeah, we have next appointment is on Monday between 10 and 12. I'm like, yeah,
I'm
like a normal person and work during those hours. Like, oh yeah, we don't do anything out past 5. I was like, okay, well, I guess I get that. You know, we own your own business, set your own hours. What about the weekends? You go, no, we don't work on weekends. Mm-hmm. Okay, so go fuck me, right? Because
that's what
I need
your
services.
Like a normal person, go fuck yourself, normal person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you know that your service is for someone's home.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are not home.
Yeah.
During such hours.
Yeah.
But you were insistent on us accommodating your business.
Yes.
That just seems so ass backwards.
And guess what?
We do it.
You had to do it.
We do it.
You guessed exactly right.
Now, this time, I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm pretty sure there's another company out here that's actually going to do what I need them to do.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, smart and aware that people don't make themselves available. Because we got fucking
leave it there.
Jobs to do. But yeah, so that's kind of my week. That's kind of what I've been dealing with. But other than that, I mean, hey, life is still good.
I had beautiful moments encompassed around a rough time. We had to bury my grandmother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, our condolences.
Thank you.
Me and the listeners.
Yeah.
Our condolences.
There's a couple listeners going right now like, no, fuck him. I hope his mom's next, you know? And that's because they're not good listeners because, you know, that wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, so I got to see my brother who was very COVID conscious. So I only saw him for like 30 minutes in a parking lot right before Christmas. We exchanged Christmas presents. And but other than that, I hadn't seen him in a year, over a year, actually.
Wow.
And then I hadn't seen my dad in a year because dad was in Arkansas, Pops.
Yeah.
So he came down, of course, and Pops was looking fly. Actually, I went into his hotel room. We all stayed at the same hotel. And I went into his room and he looked fly as fuck, dude.
More than he normally does?
Dude, like, I mean, when you start with such a small percentage, the extrapolating gets so easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, so much more than normal.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Okay. So I could just compliment him, right? I could just say, but that's not how stray hands work, bro.
Oh, so how does it work?
I told him he looked like a Kennedy. Because he's a Jack Kennedy fan. He loves JFK.
He likes JFK.
Yeah, he feels like JFK was the last blue collar Democrat.
Oh, I was gonna say he's aware he's a Democrat, right?
He's a big JFK fan. He's fucking absolutely
commie,
aware.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
And he was anti commie because he was all about killing Castro.
Makes sense.
But so then I go, not Jack, not Jack. And Billy? He goes, Bobby?
Billy?
I go, Ted? No, not like
Johnny.
I go, not like Bobby. Not like Bobby. And he says another one. I go, no. What's the one that killed the prostitute? And he's like, Teddy? I'm like, that's the one you look like. So that was that. And
that was his response.
It was, he loved it. He loved it. He's actually becoming like a fan. Like, even when he's the butt of the joke, he knows it's a joke.
It's a good joke. Funny.
I think before he took it as, like, I was being disrespectful. Now he just wants the table to. We're showmen. When we're together, dude, when we're at the same table, we're working. We're working the table, bro. We make sure everybody. We actually did that after we all had lunch together with a couple other of my uncles, my brother, his beautiful now wife. They got married.
Right on.
Through COVID.
Right on.
They did it my brother's name is Mike. They did a very Mike way, you know. She was like, look,
on Zoom,
dude. I've been together. She's been with him for like 10 years. Like, motherfucker, you're marrying me, and he's like, all right, get the charger. Let's plug the laptop in and get married today.
Let's do this.
And then I was like, Mikey, you got married in slippers, huh? And he was like, no, I was wearing shoes. I was like, you're Asian. You got married at home. You were wearing slippers because you guys aren't allowed to wear shoes at home. But anyway, so there was a moment that I know, like, it was tough, dude. It was, you know. It wasn't dark. It was beautiful.
And oh, yeah. The ceremony for your grandma. Yeah.
I got to speak a little, which was great. I cut a lot of it out because what I wrote for was on behalf of the grandkids. Right. Because our families are blended from the top. My grandmother was divorced and remarried, not to put her shit out there. And then my dad was divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried. And then I've been divorced.
Are we skipping? Oh, no, that's actually, okay, that cool. Wasn't sure, okay.
Yeah. And then, so our family is very blended on both sides, too. So like, on my grandpa's side. And we have all the colors of Benetton in our family.
Nice.
And so that was the point of my speech. But then there were no grandkids except me. Because the service had to be less than 30 people. So they were like, okay, let's... it was kind of like, as much as the families were blended, it got very particular. And then we're all spread out across the country, and not everybody's willing to travel.
Right.
So, it had that. But then I was like, my dad for sure was, like, in mourning and affected. But, like, I also know, like, Rush Limbaugh died a week or two ago, so I couldn't tell...
Who he was mourning?
Yeah, who he was, yeah. What, you know?
Which one was really prioritized? Mm-hmm. In his mournfulness.
And that is 1,000%, just a silly joke. My dad absolutely was mourning over his mother. But we got to say some beautiful things about her. And then after that, we all sat down and had lunch together. And it was, like, great. So my dad has multiple stepbrothers because his mom remarried.
Yeah.
But those stepbrothers have been my uncles since the day I was born because all this happened before I was born.
Right.
So I got to see my uncles who, one just lives outside of San Diego. He actually lives in the house. I didn't know he grew up in that house. But then when I was growing up, it was my grandma and grandpa's house.
Right.
Because they never left. Mm-hmm. So I kind of grew up in that house too. And then now it's back to his house. He took it back over before my grandma and grandpa moved on. And him and I are really fucking close nowadays. But there's this story, dude. My grandparents had this bird, this cockatoo, I believe.
Nice.
Right? Her name was Claudia. It was fucking evil.
Oh.
It was straight evil velociraptor. It was the meanest fucking bird. When they had the two-story house, it was kind of like in a den area. And when my brother and I would spend the night, like Christmas Eve, and just we would spend the night. It was somewhere. My grandfather was a zoologist and a marine biologist and biologist. And so he worked for San Diego State. He taught there for 40 years.
Nice.
And so he always was rehabbing snakes. My brother had brought up a memory of him having a Gila monster. Always had lizards, iguanas, like a ton of just animals were always there. So we
just
always
a zoo. He was Dr. Doolittle.
He was
awesome.
But this bird, I didn't know the origin story, so I got to find out the origin story. My uncle told me the origin story. He was leaving Colombia. It was like 1972 or 1973. He had like $7,000, and he found this really rare bird. And there they have them like in a menu. You could buy a bird. Like they just have these parrots.
I do the same thing, but it's a Pollo Loco.
Yes, exactly. This I also is buy pre. My birds. Pre-Maria in the back frying that motherfucker.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Or grilling, my bad.
Okay, that's what I'm used to.
So, yeah,
fire grilled.
There you go, yeah, fire grilled.
Fire grilled at El Pollo Loco. Only the classy shit.
I should know. Have you met my family? It's like 70% of my family works at El Pollo Loco currently. It was 100% 3 years ago. Anyways, he brought home this bird, Claudia. And Claudia, my grandpa would barter her out because of how rare she was. Zoos would pay him to mate her.
Oh, okay.
So he would fly her to...
He would pimp out
St.
his
Louis,
bird.
Yeah. To the Brooklyn Zoo. Central Park. Whatever it is. I don't know.
Zoo but in New York.
It took 2 years for word to get back. Every time this bird went out, all she would do is peck the feathers off the male mate. She never mated any of them.
Get the fuck off me.
Yeah. She never mated with any of them. And those birds, their pride is that mane. Yeah, that top, that mohawk.
The little mohawk.
So she would rip that off these male birds. But because there was no internet, they couldn't communicate with each other. So they were all hiring this bird. And my grandpa was getting a kick, sending this bird out all over the country.
Fully knowing that she was going to destroy all these men.
So anyways, the only reason I got that whole background story was because I told a story about when they had this two-story house, all the animals were kind of in a den. And then they got this one-story house, and all the animals were still kind of in like a pre-garage, like a lobby to a garage, like a den, like an atrium.
Yeah. Sure.
Except Claudia, they put her up in the living room. But between the guest room, which was where my brother and I would spend the night, and the refrigerator was Claudia. So we stopped going to the fridge at night because that fucking bird was terrifying.
She would just come at you.
That bird is, to this day, why I won't put my fingers in cages. Like, I absolutely will not, because that bird would fuck you up.
I like her.
Like, rough. And it was mean. If you just walk by, ah! Like, when people don't understand how dinosaurs and birds are related. I'm No, I know a velociraptor. I knew one. She's dead.
I know a descendant of
She's
velociraptor.
She's dead now. She's long gone. But so and the point I made was that when people like get too close to lion cages, like Asians want to take us out, take picture. Oh, let's take picture. You know those kinds of Asians. And then the lion grabs them.
Oh yeah.
I always think like, what did your grandparents not have a Claudia? How did you not know to stay the fuck away from the cage?
Yeah, just recently, I think it was the San Diego Zoo, there was a parent that took their kid into an elephant enclosure.
Uh-huh.
And they jumped in to take a photo, and the elephant charged at him.
Yes.
The dad jumped back out and dropped the kid on the way out, jumped back in, grabbed the kid. But it's just, how do you not know, like, don't do that?
Well, yeah, there's multiple. One, don't jump in an enclosure. Two, elephants aren't Dumbo. Elephants are rather like aggressive, kind of ferocious animals. The only reason we think they aren't is because we had Barnum and Bailey whipping 20 or 30 of them since the moment they were born to get them to do the stunts that you see.
Right.
San Diego Zoo and San Diego Wildlife Park do not participate in anything like that.
Of course not.
If they have a dangerous animal, it's a fucking dangerous animal.
And that's why there's like multiple barriers in between.
And here's the other thing that surprised me about people being surprised about that story. People go, I can't believe he just, because he kind of dropped the kid.
Yeah, on the way out.
And I go, that's the quality of dick shit that jumps into a fucking elephant enclosure with the, like, that doesn't surprise me at all.
You think back, like, I can't believe he dropped the kid. I can't believe he took him in there.
No, that's the same idiot.
That's the same. Why are you surprised that they dropped the kid? Like, you thought they were actually going to be careful?
Yeah. Come on, man.
The careful thing is to stay way the fuck behind the barrier like a normal person.
Yeah, that dude was... It's just... Suspect. But you know what?
Super suspect.
Why do they get... They get by.
They get too many free passes. I'm a huge advocate for Darwinism. Let's just remove all the obvious warning labels. Like, caution, hot... Caution, do not drink.
I got a warning label
stuff
that,
like that.
That bothers me. The one that goes beyond the store, there's chemicals known to the state of California to cause birth defects.
Oh, Prop 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we tell Arizona and Nevada?
That.
It says known to the state of California.
Yeah.
We should spread the word. They're Americans
too. They're everywhere.
They're Americans too.
These chemicals are everywhere.
They put that on every McDonald's door.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, next, if we're just gonna go with stream of consciousness right now, can we fucking show McDonald's some respect?
Like, what?
I mean, it's not the best restaurant. It's the most successful restaurant ever made.
Oh well, yeah.
People shit on McDonald's like it's not there for them all the time, especially now with the 24-hour breakfast menu.
Man, do you remember? I remember there was like a word about a shortage of eggs when they announced that they're going to be 24-hour breakfast.
No way, really?
They were like, the egg industry was like, hey, we can't fucking do that. Look at my chickens. My chickens are exhausted.
Because the fat fucks that need McDonald's breakfast at 9 o'clock at night are ordering the eggs.
Yeah.
No, bro, there's a short of hotcakes. Shortage of hotcakes. And how did they figure out the best hash brown on the planet?
I don't know, but it's fucking delicious.
It is the best,
And it's true. The only thing I can really do at McDonald's is the breakfast items.
Really?
They've nailed breakfast.
I love a quarter pounder.
Oh, really?
But if I eat it when I bought it, because if like...
Oh, it has to be fresh.
If I get a phone call and 15 minutes later my food's there, I just fucking put it straight in the trash. And it thuds, too. Like, I drop it in...
It get carried weight.
Yeah, dude. Like, what the fuck? Was it that heavy when I bought it?
It's like a Mondo burger. Those that know that know.
What's a Mondo Burger?
Mondo Burger. Remember Good Burger.
Nickelodeon? Oh, yeah.
Their competition was Mondo Burger. Yeah, so. No.
I had an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, homeowner. Actually, we should run a trial run here before we do it at my place.
Oh, man.
I just feel like your predator, prey, she's predator. I feel like the predator in this house is a little more keen than the predator in my house. Okay. So I would like to try this. I wanted to make a room full of mannequins with like kind of different outfits that I own.
Right.
Okay. So if there's, so have you ever been in this position? Not necessarily with your loved one currently, but in that you're trying to avoid at all costs an argument.
Yeah.
And like you go to you lock yourself in the bathroom. Next thing you know, the bathroom door, it's like, here's Johnny. Like, you know, then you go this way and then you're followed that way.
Yeah.
Like you can't avoid the argument. Yeah. So I want to make a room full of mannequins dressed in whatever random usual, like I'm usually wearing a V-neck and khakis.
Yeah.
And then I could just run into that room and strike a pose. And then like
pick her out.
Watch her have to argue with every mannequin till one gives her a reaction.
We could give it a shot. First and foremost, where do you find mannequins?
All right, bad idea. You're right.
Just going out of business, I suppose.
Bad idea.
I don't know. In other news, Krispy Kreme is giving out
what?
Donuts.
They are?
Yeah, man.
For what?
So if you get the vaccine.
Line me up.
Show your vaccine card and get a free original glazed donut. And while that on the surface seems like a great idea, Twitter eventually became aware of the situation. Like, hey, so you're saying that we should avoid COVID, but instead go get obesity.
Obesity.
Yeah, one free donut. So people, I just didn't like where people were going with this.
But it's definitely diabetes.
Diabetes, obesity, a plethora of things associated to high sugar and deliciousness
guys,
items.
You're supposed to enjoy pleasurable things in life, just not overindulge.
Yeah.
And Krispy Kreme is for sure one of those fucking things.
Yeah.
The problem is, here's the problem with Krispy Kreme. It's not like a donut that you're used to that you have to chew on.
Yep.
You take a bite. Krispy Kreme kind of cotton candies in your mouth. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It slightly dissolves and
it's a beautiful feeling.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So the CEO of Krispy Kreme, of course, clapped back and he said, "We're a sweet treat company. And if folks don't want to visit a donut shop, don't."
Exactly.
He continued by saying that if folks that want to get a vaccine, if they decide to combine a Krispy Kreme pickup for a donut, they can. That's how we look at it. It's generosity. So,
what's the best city in the world? Generosity!
Oh, generosity. That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, if it really comes down to just mind your fucking own. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one fucking donut for a vaccine.
Yeah.
I think that's a really nice incentive. I'm all about incentives to get the vaccine, as if, you know, living's not enough of an incentive.
Yeah.
But donuts are still good.
And in all reality, it's not actually an incentive. Like, no one's going to go, "Oh, I can get it." What it is, it's just a reward for doing the right thing. It's a zero profit reward. It's just, hey, this is us making. Chick-fil-A makes a statement every fucking Sunday, right? It's just saying, hey, like, this is the boat we're on.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be on this boat, you know, we would love to treat you.
Yeah, it's kind of like the doctor giving you a lollipop at the end of the doctor visit.
Yes!
But then the dentist over here side-eyeing you like, "You son of a bitch."
And by the way, when I was growing up, the dentist used to give us treats too. I mean, they were probably fucking terrible, but...
Well, they probably gave you treats because, like, this is going to help you return at some point in time.
There you go.
That's
malicious.
Just smart business.
That's malicious.
Is it?
I don't know.
I call it genius.
Nat, we were talking... Oh, last week we were talking about me and my stance on the vaccine and how I... like thoroughly just want one now.
Yeah.
And but I wanted the Johnson & Johnson. I wanted the No More Tears version. And Nat told me if I get it, I have to get the German version. You know what the German one is?
No.
It's the Hinterschlager Pfizer.
Pfizer.
That's the Pfizer.
That's funny. That's funny. The Johnson & Johnson. This means I get no more tears when I get the shot.
That's the one I want.
The tearless shot. That's funny.
That's the one I want. That was so not the joke. Dude, that was part of the premise of the fucking Kaiser joke.
That's the way I took
and
it.
And you love the Johnson & Johnson about
I did.
It.
That's funny. This means no more tears. Because people trip out over fucking shots. And the COVID shot, I mean, it was in and out. It was like, bop, bop, you're right, done. It was totally it. But yeah. Hey, your friend hit us up with some lightning round shit. Let's just do that.
Cool. I did have,
Shout out her for being an awesome listener.
Yeah, a great listener.
Yeah.
My friend Jessica. Before we do that, I did want to... Did you hear anything about the Mia Farrow and...
Mia Farrow.
And what's his name? Woody Allen? You know how Woody Allen married his
stepdaughter?
Wasn't
that a documentary or something like that?
Yeah. Did you ever hear?
I know
of it. I didn't watch it.
A little bit. I didn't watch the documentary.
Okay, then we shouldn't... We talk about enough stuff we know nothing about. All right, lightning round.
Like Krispy Kreme and vaccines.
Okay. Lightning round. Shout out to last week's... Are you ready? Oh, other thing. Shout out to liquor store cashiers who insist on you taking a small paper bag. I stopped to buy a beer before I got here.
Yeah.
And I bought a tall can of 40. And the guy's like, "You want a paper bag?" I was like, "No, I'm just going around the corner." He's like, "There could be a cop on the corner." I was like, "No, I'm not going to drink in the car. I'm going to drink when I get to the place where I'm going. He's like, you sure you don't want a paper bag? I'm like, hey, dude, give me the fucking paper bag. You're absolutely right, bro. And I didn't drink, but okay.
Just looking out. That's good stuff.
All right. So how does lightning round work? This is our first time doing it. I'm just going to shoot out the topic and we both throw a thought out.
Yeah, we'll shoot out the topic. We'll spend a couple seconds on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Just the initial thoughts.
All right.
Cool. Lightning round.
Suez Canal.
Suez Canal. Hey, that's like someone's bad day where you're like, oh, man, I fucked up, man.
All right.
Like, you know, you thought you had a bad day at work. You're like, hey, man, at least you weren't driving that fucking ship, right? They had a bad day. They stopped the global economy.
I was thinking it was blocked up. And like, you know how every Mexican remedy is whatever makes you shit, that medicine that makes you shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every Mexican, you're like, oh, I got a headache. And they're like, here, try this. And it's laxative. Yeah. They just need to pour some laxative down that Suez Canal. That motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll find its way out.
Yeah, that, as it always does.
I did see a meme that had like a ship approaching it. And it's like, oh, hey, step ship, leave me alone. I'm stuck. And then the other ship mounts it. It's like, step ship, what are you doing? Like, it's supposed to be incest porn, you know?
Oh, okay.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I did not get that. Moving on.
All right. Springtime.
Springtime. I like spring.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Spring ahead.
Yeah.
How about that? They're going to be getting rid of that, they think.
They're trying. They've been trying for so long to get rid of daylight savings.
This is one of those conversations where it's like, who the fuck is they?
It's like the legislators.
Yeah, but is this a bipartisan subject?
Sometimes it is. sometimes.
Depending who's the majority and minority.
Yeah, yeah. So the legislators, they'll submit for it to go through the legislative process. And at some point in time, it doesn't get enough votes. It gets held up, blah, blah, blah. It goes to the ballot and it loses and you gotta start all over again. So yeah.
Okay.
Here's a better question.
Yeah.
If daylight savings ends,
which side
would you want it to stay?
I want it the more daylight side.
More summertime.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called.
Longer summer days.
I fucking hate when I'm at work and it's dark.
Okay.
Well, and I've been at work.
Okay.
I mean, I think
I'm gonna agree with you.
My
initial thought is I love fall. I love the nighttime.
Look,
but
dude,
I think you're right.
If I wanted to live in darkness, I would I'd move to Seattle. I had way worse things
to
say.
Yeah, that was funny.
All right.
That was good. Springtime.
All right, springtime. Thanks. Okay. When it's okay to give people water or not? Obviously, when they're crossing the border, you don't.
When it's okay to give someone water, it's always okay to give someone water. When is it ever not okay to give someone water?
When you're in Yuma, Arizona. You're like, no, fucker, you took the shot. You got to ride it out now. Find the highway, bitch.
I wonder if this is tying back to A, people crossing the border, and then B, the recent Georgia legislative voting bill.
What is that?
Passed. They restricted voting. Not really. The way that they're saying is that they're tying down voter fraud, alleged voter fraud in the state of Georgia. So what they did is they made it more difficult to mail-in voting.
Okay.
They've limited the amount of drop boxes as well as available times that those drop boxes can be used.
Okay.
And then the most stickler piece is that you're unable to provide people food or water while waiting in line to vote. It is now a misdemeanor.
Oh, okay. I feel a way about that.
I feel that is fucking stupid.
I don't know, because I think that, especially place in Georgia where they live on sweet tea and peach cobbler, I think that you could use treats for people like that. There's this group in my life I keep running to. It's called Morons and Mormons. I feel like you can treat the M&Ms with treats. You can sway their vote.
Okay.
Like, if you're down south in Georgia and it's hot,
hey,
and you got a sweet tea, they're going to vote the way you want them to vote.
And they do the same thing in high school elections, so I guess it's the same way. You know?
We should stick a pin. Actually, yeah, that's how I became school. Well, I ran a pretty panty contest. Jessica, I think she part... Never mind, I didn't want to put you on blast. We ran a pretty panty contest, and then we gave out Jolly Ranchers. Pretty panty contest was fire! But, all right, let's stick a pin in voter...
voter law in Georgia.
Voter sweat, yeah, okay. And we'll keep going on to our lightning round. The next one is a big one, and it's the Derek Chauvin trial.
Guilty as fuck.
And so glad that she phrased it that way, because I'm sick and tired of people saying it's the George Floyd trial.
I agree.
Because George Floyd is not on trial. Derek Chauvin is.
Yeah.
And we all watched him kill that guy.
Yeah. And I think the unfortunate thing is that this is another attempt to try to convict a police officer for doing the wrong thing. And all of us are hopeful, we're optimistic, but at the back of our mind, we're like,
it's not, yeah.
It's probably not going to go our way again.
It can't.
I hope. I mean, there's gonna be a day.
This is
there's gonna be a day that is, one day it will happen.
Best case scenario, he gets convicted of some sort of manslaughter and he gets secretly let out the back door in 2 years.
Possibly.
Because I don't want cops to stop copying.
Right.
But I want them to stop copying like him.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I want a cop to go out and know that if he makes a mistake, one, hopefully he's conscious enough to make a mistake that doesn't end someone's life.
Yep.
But two, that he will not risk his family's well-being for making a mistake.
Yes.
I fucked up the other day at work, and no one struck my family from the record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's we do need to start... Maybe there needs to be a new type of homicide that is like homicide by cop that is like a 5-year sentence.
There's got to be some kind of punishment.
There has to be.
Some kind of punishment.
Because you know what? Even this involuntary manslaughter, he'll do 14 months.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know the answer. As always, I don't... Like you said, like a sign of intelligence is you don't know. Yeah. I don't know the
knowing
answer.
Knowing you don't know. Not what, just not knowing.
What I do know is that... The current punishment is not enough, and we need further evaluation for the adequate amount of punishment for this guy.
Hold on, I'm answering.
Guilty for Derek Chauvin? Chauvin?
Derek Dipshit. How about that?
Yeah.
And the final post for this lightning round. First annual, first inaugural is the fourth wave.
Oh, fourth wave of COVID. Well, I know it's ongoing in Europe right now, so I don't know exactly how many waves they've had, but I guess it's four.
imagine if they jumped it.
Yeah.
What if it was the propaganda machine? Like, they were going through an election.
Yeah.
Okay, like, if we were facing our third wave
during
Donald Trump, or flip the parties, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then the other party just goes, aren't you guys worried about the fourth wave? And you're like, wait, we're just on our second wave. They're like, the fourth wave is coming. You're like, holy fuck, there's a fourth wave. And then it sways your vote.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like how... The virus was politicized. It's just the worst. To politicize science is the complete opposite of science.
Well, here's the problem. We have politicians picking, like, the what is Fauci? What's his title?
Oh, fucking shit. I was told there'd be no math.
I know. Sorry.
Well, he's been in his position.
It's the whatever surgeon, it may be. Not the Surgeon General.
No,
but the Surgeon General, too, is,
same thing, is, appointed.
Is addressed, appointed by a politician.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is that it's bound to be interwound.
I know that there's politics in everything. There's even office politics in the science community. I get that. Sure. But ultimately, science-based conversations should remain as such when making such decisions. So like with the WHO, the CDC, all of it, they should be bound to a primary, you know, fundamental core.
What is
core.
It's like the ethic of the medical... What is
The medical ethics committee, some shit something, like that.
I don't know, man. There's a code, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Point being, fourth wave, I don't think it's going to happen in the way that people expect. I think the winter surge, this past winter, during this past holiday season, I think was the worst it was going to be. And now that we have the vaccine and it's rolling out efficiently, everyone's getting stuck. I think we're going to, the light at the end of the tunnel is getting closer and closer. I'm excited for it. I thought it was going to be here a little bit later, summer, but I think it's going to be here sooner than that, maybe this spring.
And my perspective, my stance is it was never as dark as we thought it was.
Okay, expound.
Just that there is definitely a light at the end of the tunnel,
sure.
And that we are getting closer to that, but that all the doom and gloom was a little exaggerated and coming from an exaggerator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to hear something dope that I found out that I learned from my grandpa?
Yeah.
My grandpa, before he passed, he was known for saying, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Okay, I mean, I've heard that before.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's what I live by. So I didn't know that I had heard that and then decided, like, all the wise things my grandfather said.
Yeah.
Of all his discoveries, of everything he found out about the world, I went with, like, yeah, fuck the truth. You know?
If it gets a good laugh, fuck it.
Yeah, dude. So...
Yeah, I don't think the fourth wave is going to be as big of a deal as it was going to be. But then again, I think the vaccine has definitely made an impact in the way that we hoped it would.
You ever watch Mexican soccer?
Not
on TV.
Really?
No.
No, because I don't understand what the fuck they're saying.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I get the game. You can put it on mute.
Yeah.
I get the concept of it.
Okay, even if it was on mute. Check this out. I saw this at a restaurant. They're now... Okay, do you remember... I know you're not a big football guy, but you'll remember this in general with fights and just watching things as we grew up. as graphics got integrated into sports.
Yeah.
Remember how shitty they were in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Or absent.
Yeah. And now, like, if you watch a fight, they have, like, the middle thing with the two fighters, and it looks like a scoreboard almost, but that's completely digital. It's not real in the stadium.
Yeah.
But behind hockey goalies, they have ads that are superimposed.
Yeah.
So Mexico soccer is getting their first round of graphics.
Oh, man.
So it looks very 1980s, 88. But one of their things is influenced by video games.
Yeah.
Which we weren't, because video games came after live sports to us.
Yep.
So when a soccer player is about to take a shot, they point a straight arrow, not one that avoids players or anything, to the goal.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to shoot this. Yeah, dick shit, we're watching the game. I know he's shooting at that goal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally a straight arrow to the goal.
Yeah.
Superimposed on top of all the existing players, on top of the ball. Yeah. And then when one goes in to throw in, instead of like saying like, oh, analysis would be that they're setting up a play either to left or the right of them.
Right.
They have the shh, 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 waving thing. Like if you were playing a game.
Yeah, yeah.
That you got to press X when you want it to hit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the soccer player on the field doesn't see that shh, 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 shh.
Yeah.
So they just superimpose a video game graphic onto it.
They're just having a good time.
And then when he goes to throw the ball in, it stops like, oh, whoever gets here.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you could have actually, you could have used that shitty arrow telling me where the goal is to like inform me where his key pass would be.
Yeah.
But there, it's just, it's a shit show, bro.
I feel like you're bothered by this.
I was trying to eat dinner. And I was like, look at these fucking graphics. I was so heated, dude. I was so mad. And people thought I was cheering for TJ because TJ was losing.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with the team. It just had to do with the fucking graphics. And you're right. Really, it was on mute.
That's funny. Okay, so things that are also going on this week. I thought it was pretty interesting that a Kansas City newspaper sends a warning with a blank front page. So, not too recently.
I missed the mic. Sorry. Wait, what?
The Northeast News, located in Kansas City, they're a small local paper in Kansas City, Missouri. And they're highly dependent on ad revenue, as most local newspapers are. Hyper-local news at that.
Okay.
And they printed a blank front page, and then that was their issue for the day. So a bunch of like the normal readers and subscribers, they hit up the news.
So it was just one page blank or the whole?
No, just the front page.
Okay.
Just the front page for that shock value.
Got you.
All the readers reached out to the Northeast News and were like, hey man, did you guys fuck up? Or like, no, we're sending a message. This is what life looks like.
Without us.
Unless there's some revenue towards our newspaper.
Brilliant.
There's not going to be any news because we're out of business.
Brilliant. Here's the only problem with that message.
Yeah.
Without them, they still have to find a way to print blank newspapers and deliver them to people. Or else their message is a fallacy.
Yeah, blank.
Brilliant.
So I thought this was really interesting as a good way to remind ourselves of local news. Do you read local news out here?
I do, but not... Well, we're in Riverside now. So I'm a big KTLA guy.
Okay.
Yep. I love KTLA.
Yep.
I feel like it's pretty nonpartisan.
Yeah, for the most part. They're a bunch of goofballs.
The news.
Yeah, a bunch of goofballs doing the news. That's KTLA news.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, a fucking... It's all every police chase, first of all.
That's Channel 11.
Is Channel 11 about that now? Channel
11. Oh my God, they always do the fucking...
You know what bothers me about Channel 11? Ewing, the black dude?
Oh, yeah.
His makeup. Like, can they please get him a black makeup artist?
Because they can't get it.
Do you see him?
I stopped watching.
I
stopped watching Fox 11 after they got rid of Julian Barbary.
That was a long time ago.
I know, that's why.
And they didn't get rid of her. She left on to bigger, better things.
Is that what it was?
Like athletes' dicks.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, she started dating hockey players and baseball players.
Good for her.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, so.
Hyperlocal news. So right now I read the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. And I also read the Press Enterprise, which is for the Inland Empire.
That's where I was going to. No, it's not for Inland Empire. It's just for Riverside.
Riverside.
But I only read the Press Enterprise. I'm pretty sure the only Press Enterprise customer is the jail system here. Because that's the only place I've ever seen a Press Enterprise in paper. And you know, we're down the street from where they're manufactured and distributed.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's right. It's around the corner from the condo I had.
Yep. I just really interested because I like the hyper local news because, again, it's your neighborhood and they're covering news and items that affect your neighborhood. A new store opened up, or there's new taxes, or what's going on with the school district, or a crime, or what have you. Super important stuff. And I thought that this was a really great example of how important hyper local news organizations are. And I thought it was a really good idea that the Kansas City newspaper printed out a blank front page.
And I believe, I love that they got a response. Like, how important is that? Look at this fucking guy's makeup, dude. Get the shit out of here. He looks like Mr. Potato Head, dude. Or Potato Head. Whatever it is now.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Someone help him.
But, so are you going to subscribe to like getting like a Sunday delivery?
So here's my thing. I don't subscribe.
Okay.
So I'm probably, people are like, oh, you're talking out of your ass. You don't subscribe. No, but in the age of the internet, your eyes are currency. Clicks.
Yeah.
Just imposing onto a particular webpage.
I love that.
That counts as a view. In the same way that you're viewing a newspaper and you see ads in the newspaper, that's what the whole point is.
Now that we allowed this to develop for 2 minutes, I remember why I don't like Press Enterprise.
Okay.
They had a thing for you to write in as a Kings fan to win two tickets to the Kings.
Okay.
And I know the Press Enterprise. I know they have zero readers outside of this room. And Vinny wrote at like 6 years old. Something pretty dope. Pictures, everything. No response.
Oh, man.
And the fact that nobody responded, like, hey, we accepted it. I go, oh, it's completely fake. Reaching.
Yeah.
It was fake.
Yeah.
I was like, it's completely fake. Plus, I did read it every morning in jail for a couple months. So,
got tired of it.
That
brings bad vibes.
Well, that's how I knew about the Kings competition. As soon as I got out, I was like, come on.
We got to do this. I've been seeing this.
But yeah, they're not the best. But I would say local news. I go KTLA. And nice. So you still are San Gabriel?
Yeah. I mean that's you know, okay, born and raised.
So my father still gets news from San Diego and he's lived in Little Rock for 20 years. Do you think that you'll always, like, there's New Yorkers who leave who still get the Post?
Yeah.
You know, do you think that you'll ever stop reading San Gabriel?
Oh, no. I do think it's just because I relate so much to the region and that's where, you know.
And you genuinely care about it.
Genuinely care about my original hood.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, I always thought it was funny because Little Rock is full of people from other parts of the world. And you could be somewhere and there's a LA Times there.
Nice.
Or a New York Post or a Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's more, that's nationwide because you got investors or investors.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, you know, early internet days when I was there.
Yeah. Important things that can be covered in the news is such a good example is Minnesota court rules. I'm reading this headline and that was a horrible segue. My apologies. Minnesota, a court ruled that a rape charge doesn't apply if the victim got willingly drunk.
I heard about this.
So the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that a man who had sex with a woman while she was passed out on his couch cannot be found guilty of rape because the victim got herself drunk beforehand.
This is the pendulum, dude. This is the pendulum swinging.
Are you going to try to make sense of this? Because I cannot make sense of this at all.
This is the pendulum swinging.
Okay.
Okay. So we went so hard for women for so long that we allowed them to not be responsible for decisions they made while they may or may not have been intoxicated. We did this thing where that like women can retroactively decide to have not wanted to have sex with you and you could be punished for it. That was one side of the pendulum.
They can retroactively decide.
There was a case that you and I talked about. Uh-huh. I don't know if it was The Bachelorette or whatever.
Sure.
A girl got in a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Fucked a dude in front of cameras.
Yeah.
Regretted it the next day. And then basically proclaimed rape.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We don't need to get into the details.
Sure.
As long as you vaguely remember
that story. Remember that story.
That was one end of the pendulum.
Sure.
Where if she had gotten in a car and killed someone,
yeah,
we would have made her responsible for that decision.
Yeah.
But because she fucked someone, she obviously had gotten taken advantage of. Women are not that helpless. Now, that pendulum swings back the other way. There is somebody who is genuinely helpless, who genuinely was passed out.
Yeah.
Who, yeah, willingly got drunk, but did not agree to fucking anybody.
Yeah.
One dude, as shitty as the woman was who created that fake rape.
Yeah.
This dude is, no, he's way shittier. Sorry. That's not even silly.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Fake rape is pretty fucked up.
Fake rape is pretty fucked up because you're implying that someone who may be innocent in their allegation of raping you was innocent, and even that allegation can ruin a reputation.
Yes.
Or even jail time, for sure.
Well, no, and
that's super fucked up.
And we're using the premise that I gave us. There are spiteful fucking people,
yeah,
who have proclaimed rape.
Yeah.
That have, like, thoroughly destroyed lives, sent people to prison.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then this guy genuinely raped someone.
Yeah.
And now, because of that pendulum, he happens to be the benefactor of it on this side. And we're going to end up somewhere in the middle, hopefully. But
I'm trying to understand your pendulum analogy.
The pendulum is what every American every American policy is based on. It goes way too far left and then way too far right. And then in the end, the actual legislation will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So basically what they're saying is if she went out and got drunk with him, he gets to fuck her. That's the antithesis to, oh, she had a couple beers and she willingly fucks someone and gets to call rape on him.
The next day.
They're the two opposite. They're the two opposing things. They're the two ends of the pendulum.
Okay.
The spectrum.
Right.
So this is these people answering that first scenario.
Okay, so I would say that your example would be on one side of the pendulum, you have a woman who did something really fucked up. And then on the other side of the pendulum is the man doing something really fucked up. And now you have two opposite ends of the spectrum where both sides are doing something incredibly fucked up.
Yes.
And because of that, we're trying to look for a center? Is that
not because of that, but there in the center is what really should be.
Which is what, according to motion?
What really should be is that you should be held liable and responsible for the decisions you make, whether or not you're intoxicated. Now, if somebody affects you while you're intoxicated, they need to be responsible for the decisions they make. So this dude decides to sleep with somebody who never gave, what's the word?
Consent. Yep, consent.
Never gave consent.
Yep.
Although, like, and I'm not defending the dude at all anyway.
Yeah, yeah, so, no, we're just trying to clarify. Yeah.
So when, so here's the thing. I don't want to say it the wrong way. Okay. If her story is as she says it is.
Yes.
I'm sure his story is opposing.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be fucking crazy if he agreed and they're still like, nah, don't worry, bro. You didn't rape her. But what I'm saying is that if you drink, and I always took this as like a, I think of along the lines of like a criminal standard.
Yeah.
Not a male-female standard.
Yeah.
Like when I talk about immigrants who break the law every day by being here illegally, I don't think that they're illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can't tell me to not drink and drive.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if a girl is trying to say she drank and she made a bad decision, but we would hold her liable for driving,
yep,
that you're still liable for all those decisions. Now, there's a group of people in Minnesota,
mm-hmm,
who are trying to affect the behavior on that side of the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
By unfortunately fucking sacrificing real lives on this end of the spectrum or this end of the pendulum.
Okay, so you're saying they're trying to make a point.
Exactly.
Okay, they're trying to make a point.
And I'm not trying to make that point.
Of course not.
But I feel like that's what I see what's happening.
Right. So I think the middle pendulum, I guess you could say, is if you're intoxicated, you chose to become intoxicated. Okay, that's one thing. If your alcohol was spiked, totally different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about I decided to go out and I chose to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And at some point in time of that drunkenness, you still have the capacity to make a decision, whether it be a slow arrival to that decision or a slurred decision. You're still able to make a decision. So going back to the drunk driving piece, you're super fucked up. You're mentally blacked out.
Yeah.
But you're still able to put one foot in front of the other and then get the car started and drive.
Well, here's the thing. We got to make you responsible for your decisions and hope that that puts enough fear in you that you never become so inebriated,
yeah,
that you become a bad decision maker.
Yes.
So you will always be held responsible for your decisions, regardless as to what you allow to affect your brain.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I agree to that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So this if you're passed out,
yeah,
drunk,
you're not making decisions.
Correct.
She wasn't going to get drink and drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree to that.
That sounds like a good middle.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the girl who fucked a dude in a jacuzzi in front of TV producers,
yeah,
cannot claim rape.
I agree.
Because she literally got in the jacuzzi. No, she could still claim rape being drunk and fucked in front of producers if a dude held her down and raped her.
Oh, yeah.
But you jumping on top of someone's dick, you see what I'm saying?
Even then, if you're conscious and you're being raped, you can still at any point in time during the consensual sex say no, session's over, and it's done. And if the other person is continuing, then that's rape. Absolutely.
Correct.
But she's in the capacity to make a decision, not to say that she earned it, deserved it, or what have you. I'm simply saying that you made a decision
even in your incapacitated state. Would be so much harder to figure out than the situation that's brought up in this article. You know what I mean? Like, this person's passed out.
Yeah.
As opposed to a person who was, like, down then wasn't.
Yeah.
They're still right. I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah.
But that would be much harder for a jury to figure out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because going back to, you know, being raped.
Like, when does consent expire?
Yeah, well, because when you're blackout drunk, you're still functioning. Again, if you're stumbling to your vehicle, you're blacked out. Yeah. You're not yourself. But you may have consented. Yeah, yes. You're still responsible. So I think that's a great example. And
blacked out and passed out are different things.
Yes, yes. And I think as being blacked out in making bad decisions, not necessarily say that you need to...
Let's not forget that there's a generation of us that we embraced alcohol to make the decision we innately wanted. That we knew we were going to kind of be cool with this, so we kind of start chugging.
Liquid courage.
And it's not always about sex.
Right.
For me, growing up, it was like
tagging. Jumping off the roof. Oh, okay, no.
Tagging.
That was me.
Like, everybody was going to go tagging.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really don't want to fucking do this. And then someone had like a little bottle of something and I'd start taking shots.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm out fucking spray painting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I get that. And I think that for women who don't tag, it might be fucking someone they don't want to fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't want to fuck this guy. Three more shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think to be safe, I'm definitely going to request that I need a woman's perspective opinion on this, just to be sure that I'm on the right page here, because I think I know where I'm going with this. I think I'm in the right on this. But, okay, you know,
which woman?
A woman, I suppose.
Would have, oh, I thought you had one lined up.
I don't have one lined up, but I do have an opinion on the subject. Mona from Facebook said, this is sad. Things are very different for women when they go out.
Yes.
I remember going out with a friend. We always trusted each other. Before the night would start, we would decide whose turn it was to drink. The other person would only be allowed one drink at the start of the night and was responsible for the other friend and driving home.
That's dope.
Our rule applied to any club, party, or situation that involved alcohol. Okay, so that's a woman's perspective there. I mean, that's women looking out for women.
Yeah.
And that's why they go to the restrooms in groups.
Yeah.
I mean, they do everything in groups.
I thought
when
it was
going
to
out.
Powder their nose, if you know what I mean.
I mean, if they're sharing, I suppose.
No.
But I think this, that, I mean,
do you
it
remember,
definitely speaks to that perspective of going everywhere together.
Me as a cisgendered white man.
Yeah.
I remember different points in my life where I like realized, oh, it's different.
Yeah.
For whether this person's a different ethnicity or gender or what.
Yeah.
But I remember at one point, I want to say it was my first apartment, like near downtown Ontario. I was like 17, 18 years old, something, I don't know. And a girl visited me. And then she was ready to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. You know, like, kind of have a good night. Walked her to the door and everything. And she's like, no, you need to walk me to my car.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. You could totally get hurt.
Yep.
You know?
So you didn't even think about it.
And I knew that it was like a gentleman's thing.
Yeah.
But like, she let me come on her face and do all kinds of weird shit. So I didn't feel like the need to be a gentleman anymore.
Right, right, right.
But then I was just like, oh, no, you're still, yeah, I still care about you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, so I remember that was one of the big ones, like, for me that I realized, like, that, how about this? This toxic masculinity that we speak so much about, where it's actually, not all of it, there's a ton of it, but some of it is actually just being a gentleman.
Yeah.
And we teach our kids or our sons that that is being a gentleman, kind of by way of, like, manners.
Yeah.
But in actuality, they are protection devices. Like
some of
having
them.
Your girl on the right side of the curb.
Yeah, yeah.
Opening the door.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's there's certain things that it's like, oh, this is so I can get a landscape of the scenario mm-hmm. before I let my girl walk in, or like, yeah. you know, always having your face to the door, her back to the door.
Yeah.
Things like that. Like, those are not toxic masculinity things there that are there for no reason.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a difference. There's a definite difference between toxic masculinity versus gentlemen.
That's because we're intelligent enough to do that. There yeah. are people out there screaming toxic masculinity. Toxic.
Yeah,
it's so hard to say.
Yeah.
Anyways, about like all traditions across the board.
Yeah.
And it's like you're actually going to make people vulnerable.
Yeah.
That don't need to be vulnerable.
Yeah. I think as with everything, you just need a sense of perspective and understanding.
Awareness.
Some definite awareness of where things come from, where they derive, why we do the things we do.
How far are we in?
We're about 54, 55 minutes in. Yeah, so we're cruising.
In case I share anything personal.
I want to get into Lil Nas X and his shit. But I don't know if we're going to have enough time. Do you think? You know what? It's been long enough. Let's do it. Let's do Lil Nas X.
What we knew. All right.
And then we'll close out with some you-know-whats if we have time.
All right.
So Lil Nas X. So this is the saga of Lil Nas X. So Lil Nas X, for those who have been living under a rock, this is the guy who released that single, Old Town Road. It was a monster hit. Was it this past year?
Huge.
2019? 2020?
It might have been a year or two now. It might be on its second year, but yeah. Okay.
So not too long ago, monster hit. I still have not heard the song in its entirety. And he recently came out with another song, which I don't know. You can YouTube it if you fucking
really
want to know. Point is, it doesn't matter. What is making waves in the news is his association, or depiction, rather, of satanic imagery in his latest music video, as well as a shoe release of his partnership with a shoe company.
Yeah, a shoe company. They're Nikes, but it's not with Nike.
Yes. Okay. That is point of clarification.
We should make that clear, yeah.
Very make it clear.
You'd say very make it clear.
Very make it clear. So
stumbling like Biden, boy.
Whatever, man. So he releases the partnership with the shoe. The shoe sells out. It's for like $1,000. But here's the kicker about the shoe. The shoe is some Nike Air 7s, whatever the fuck, special edition Nikes.
That's not the kicker. Tell him the kicker.
Nike Air Max 97s. And he partnered with a shoe organization, and they made them like all satanicked out. So they're black, and they have a Bible, psalm, or whatever the fuck you call them.
And verse. What would be the weirdest part about that shoe?
That it has a pentagram on it.
That's not the weirdest.
Okay. The weirdest thing is it has a drop of blood, human blood, in the shoe.
You know what? I just had a thought.
Yeah.
It's not very different than other Nikes made in sweatshops.
You're not wrong.
It's not very different.
So Lil Nas X partnered with this shoe organization called Mischief, otherwise known as MSCHF. And the makers of the shoe at Mischief, or actually redesigners of the shoe, because Nike made them, they bought a shit ton of them, and then Lil Nas X and Mischief redesigned the shoe and resold them. So, of course, all the conservatives are losing their fucking mind because Lil Nas X is a pop artist, and all the kids love Old Town Road.
Yep.
They all love the fucking song, so they really enjoyed this artist, and now he's selling satanic imagery. How dare he? Oh, and he's gay.
Yeah.
Can't have it.
Yeah.
All bad.
Which, of all the things listed, my only problem with him is that he's black.
My only problem
with him. Just kidding, bad racial joke.
My only problem with him is that he hasn't done this sooner. I mean, here's
the
thing.
There you go.
I'm completely.
Do you remember when he came out, how people treated him? And I was like, that was news?
Yeah, I didn't like
it. I think we covered it.
I think we talked about it a little bit because it wasn't news to us.
No.
It was like
he was wearing a pink fucking chaps with rhinestones on a horse through like Compton.
He was a pop artist who is making music, and he just happened to be gay.
Okay.
Who the fuck cares?
So let's start. Who would think that he has a half Mexican and a white boy, a half Mexican, half white boy, and another cat from West Covina? Who does he? Do you think in his world right now he knows he has two guys just vouching for him and a little known podcast outside of LA just like singing his praise?
I'm sure he doesn't know specifically of us like he should.
So if you know him and you're a listener, tag him, hashtag.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's aware that he's getting some support.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
That Small Town Road song.
Yeah.
My youngest loved it, and he was even younger when it came out, obviously. Yeah. But I listened to the lyrics, and I go, hey, dude, this shit is not a kid's song.
Yeah.
But then when I watch him enjoy it, I go, he has no clue.
Yeah.
It's one thing, like, your kids can watch and absorb certain things and miss all SpongeBob. Like, point proven, right? But anyways, so like, for people to come out now and be like, oh my God, you're feeding our kids poison.
Yeah.
That song was about lean and cheating.
Yeah.
Like, no, you are feeding your kids poison.
Yeah.
But I understand that, look, no 9-year-old should have social media.
Yeah.
And I say 9 because that's what my son is now. And so he was like 7 back then. But I get, they think there's been a bait and switch.
Yeah.
They think that they've been, like I've said for 2 episodes now, presented something and found out actually that it isn't.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's just he's finally being more blatant about what he is.
Yeah.
And guess what, guys? He's a Southern Black man.
Yeah.
And he's come out of his game. His life has not been as smooth since.
Yeah.
So to be surprised that he's now infatuated with the other side of religion.
Yeah.
If you don't know a Southern Black man and you don't break their heart, like, it's a short trip from positive to negative. Mm-hmm. It's a very short trip.
Yeah.
And I hope that he entertains every aspect of art.
Yeah.
And I hope he deeply explores. I think he could be, I don't want to say the next Weeknd, because to me, the Weeknd right now is one of the best artists on the planet.
I suppose. I haven't really looked much into him.
But I mean, just like entertaining theories and ideas and playing with concepts.
Here's my main takeaway with this whole story as well.
Shoot it.
Stop letting entertainers of any kind raise your kids.
There you go.
Simple. Point. Done. Match.
From 2 guys raised by Eminem.
Yeah, exactly. Stop letting entertainers raise your kids. If you are thinking that these entertainers owe you as a parent anything.
Absolutely.
Other than the entertainment that they are selling you.
Yep.
You are unbelievably mistaken and a bad parent to begin with if you think that's the way it goes.
You get that entertainment for pretty fucking free. We used to have to buy albums and posters and concert tickets.
Yeah.
Your kid goes on YouTube and makes the clothes off Etsy. I don't know. But like, the amount of value that an artist gets for a fan now is so fucking minimal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's troublesome.
Yeah.
So for you to expect an artist to really give a fuck about the $0 you've spent on them, outside of what you mentioned earlier, your eyes, you know, is commerce. No. Like, he's a grown man.
Yep.
He's figuring some shit out.
Yep.
And he's letting his fucking, he's letting his wings, he's soaring. He's letting his wings out, bro.
So yeah, I'm all Lil Nas X on that.
I'm a bigger fan now, and I haven't watched the video, seen the shoes, read the lyrics.
Well, here we go. I'm about to flip the script. So I'm team Lil Nas X when it comes to the satanic imagery and being an artist and being an entertainer and all that shit.
Okay.
I hope he fucking gets sued by Nike.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm going to flip the script. So Lil Nas X, I'm not on your team when it came to the fucking shoe.
Yeah.
That is not your shoe. For you to advertise it with the Nike swoosh with every fucking picture, you know the association value that you get by saying Lil Nas X, Nike's custom. You imply that there's a partnership between you and Nike.
Now you're getting touchy, though.
Yeah.
You're getting touchy, and let me tell you why.
Pow.
First thing that comes to mind is car companies.
Mm.
There's a select amount of car companies, like, for instance, Brabus and Saline, that buy a stock car.
Yeah.
And then they add stuff to the car.
Yeah.
And they sell it under their name, but it's still that car. So like a Mercedes Brabus is a very high-end thing.
Yeah.
Brabus is the guy who redesigns them. And it's not like, who's that racist white guy that used to be married to that actress that did the motorcycles?
Oh, Jesse James.
It's not that guy.
Yeah.
This is like a company.
Okay.
Okay? It's not like one guy.
Yeah, it's not a custom shop.
No. This is like a fucking brand. Company that makes like another 10,000 of your Mercedes. If you made 150 of this brand, he'll make 10% of it. Put his name on it, and then you actually sell it at your lot for this much more.
Right.
So I understand.
Resale.
And that association.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's been marketed as a Nike. I heard about it on The Breakfast Club, and it was very clearly marketed as a Nike on The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Well, by The Breakfast Club, not by him.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
You just simply say, oh, I'm partnering with whatever the fucking...
Mischief.
Yeah, yeah. I'm partnering with Mischief. I'm partnering with the shoe organization, and we're releasing this new shoe.
Yeah.
And every photo
is you with the Nike.
With the Nike swoosh. And then it's always, oh, we got these custom Air Max 97s, which is a Nike shoe.
Well, here's going to be the issue.
You're implying the partnership, and you let everyone else just say, oh, it's a new Nike Lil Nas X, and
Nike's
boom, it's done.
Probably going to have a lot of liability. One, with my discovery of that, like, there's a lot of blood on those shoes already, bro. But two, did you sell 10,000 pairs to someone? What'd you think they were going to do?
I mean, you can buy wholesale. I mean,
10,000 pairs of one shoe?
I'm sure it happens all the time.
I'm not sure it happens all the time. Maybe it does. I don't know.
But at the same time, yeah, Nike, yeah, duh, yeah, idiot.
But I think there's some, I think that they probably already have a deal with Mischief.
Sure.
And then Mischief made a deal with Lil Nas X. And now they're trying to, there's not going to be any leeway.
Yeah. I think the amount of negative press that Nike is getting for the associative nature of this deal, if it was like a, you know,
isn't
a neon glow shoe,
isn't that crazy?
It would be a
Nike
big deal.
Can make 4-year-olds tie your shoelaces.
Yeah.
10,000 pairs a day.
Yeah.
Not let them get educated.
Yeah.
Set up nets around the factory so they can't commit suicide.
Yeah.
I know that's Apple, but I'm pretty sure Nike does it too.
Yeah.
And like not pay farmers for the cotton.
Yeah.
The leather.
Yeah.
And the issue is that like there's some fucking gay black boy down south that's ruining our brand.
You're totally right. And that's why I can say both sides of that shit are fucked up. And I hope Nike gets theirs in that kind of case.
I stopped wearing
Nikes
when I was 10.
Yeah, well, I haven't worn Nikes, man. I'm not going to pay an extra $100 for a fucking shoe.
I mean, I would, but
I'm just not that kind of shoe head.
I got the education on where they came from.
Oh, that too.
And then, so it's like, also, yeah. That's like, this is like a serial killer suing a therapist for giving bad advice. Fuck you! We got to make a segment where it's like a fuck you segment.
Yeah.
And it would be Nike in this situation. I mean, like how can you be one of the worst corporate entities in the past 30 years and sue an artist because you don't like what they did with your fucking
because
terrible product?
I totally get that when you're trying to protect your brand.
Yeah,
I totally get that.
From a business sense,
I totally get that. However, at the same time, I'm not endorsing Nike as an organization.
No, yes.
So I think
And I'm not accusing you of that, I hope.
Yeah, no. I think this is a clear example of a fuck you across the board. To this entire situation. It's one of those situations where it's just tenfold. Like, nothing positive came out of this with the exception of Lil Nas X leaning into his entertainer role.
I see what you did there.
Leaning into his entertainer role and entertaining and promoting himself as an artist by mixing it up with some controversy. Beyond that, consumers are idiots for falling for it. Nike, because they're being greedy. Lil Nas X partnering with Mischief to make a fast buck. Mischief for utilizing a type of industry, taking advantage of someone else's proprietary ownership of shit to make a fast buck.
You know
buck.
What happened? I bet you Mischief thinks they got like a dope little Jewish attorney.
Yeah.
And he gave them the advice. No, go do it.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be Nike's attorneys.
Yeah.
Which, like, I guarantee you, Nike's, like, attorneys, each attorney, even though their low-level attorney speaks 10 languages.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't be a lawyer for Nike and not know you're going to be in every court.
Yeah, around the world.
Yeah.
It's true. That's a good one.
I bet you Putin is a lawyer for Nike.
Oh, man, where are we at? So we're at 107. You want to do some you-know-whats?
We could do you-know-what.
Let's do a couple you-know-whats.
Here, I'll throw one out while you look yours up.
All right, cool.
You know what?
What?
My dad always told me to count to 10. Like, he would do these strikes, like, one. Like, throw his arm out, extend it. Count to 10 to calm down in tense situations.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me.
Doesn't work for you?
By the time I get to 3, I'm more pissed off than I was at 1. Because I'm like, now you got me counting like
and
a
I'm tired.
Fucking idiot. And I'm pissed. So I go 1, 2. I'm counting them!
I can't do it. Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
No matter how old you are, you need bubbles.
What do you mean?
When you take a bath.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck how old you are. If you're taking a bath, you need bubbles.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck how they got there. Would it be like the bubble bomb, bath bomb, Mr. Bubbles? I don't give a fuck. Johnson & Johnson, no more tears.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. There needs to be bubbles in your bath. And they will be enjoyed.
They will.
That's fucking facts.
You know what?
What?
American politicians need to be held accountable. I know that's a universal statement. I know nobody feels that way. But I got something in devise. Something I'm creating right now called the Russian. No, sorry. It's called the Privilege Protection Plan.
Privilege Protection Plan.
what the privilege protection plan is, it is conservatives being able to say the Russians fucked with the election.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, it's the liberals being able to say the Russians fucked with technology, or vice versa. I don't know how that worked. But what I'm getting at is we have a privilege protection plan where we have no accountability for ourselves.
Yep.
We just blame everything on some foreign entity, whether it be China or Russia, and really come up with no resolve. And then when we hire a bunch of attorneys to dig deeper, they come up with nothing either.
Yep.
And nobody ever gets charged with anything.
Yep.
And the American people get the shit end of the stick.
I think that's the American way.
Privilege protection plan.
Good to know. Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
I think this is brought to you by my wife, Daisy. It might have been you, actually. I don't fucking know. But I've been, when it came up, it was funny.
All right.
Only.
Then it was definitely me.
When you use the term only, it has to be the limit of the fingers on your hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, this was me and Daisy debate.
Yeah, okay. So what happened was we were talking about, oh, it's this happened only a few times.
Yeah.
Okay, but only a few times, you mean like only six times? Yeah. Only seven times?
It's based on perspective.
Yeah. Like, it's only a few times. But, you know, we're not concentrating on the word few, but if you're going to use the word only, it can't exceed the number of extremities on your hand.
Like, for instance,
yeah,
I only gotten four or five fights throughout my life.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, that's four or five. That's on your hand. Yeah.
But, like, I only went to the bathroom four or five times in the past 10 days. That's not okay. So we were trying to figure out where only in common occurrence lays.
Yeah.
Like, so that was the talk behind that.
There needs to be some resolve.
And the resolve was Daisy. Daisy is the one that provided the number of
times on your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance and we'll advertise whatever the hell you want. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we're glad to say that we are back, motherfuckers.
Bye, yeah, yeah.
And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy the intro while we go out.